1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles. It's in the New Testament. So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, more specifically. So turn to your neighbor and say, I love the Word of God.
I love the Word of God.
It's been on my heart, and I want to encourage you. So turn to your neighbor and say, do you need some encouragement? And you know, what's the best way to do it? Well, you know, you can go to the world for some temporary encouragement, but that doesn't last. But the Word of God, we know this, eternal. And we're more than conquerors in Christ, even if we have problems. So just because we're a Christian, you put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, doesn't mean that you are immune to the problems of the world. Am I right? I can never find that in Scripture. I'm always looking for people that are preaching a Jesus that's foreign to Scripture, that Jesus, you come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. And I say, okay, well, just show me that where that's in Scripture. Because a lot of us have put our faith in Christ and our life has gotten more difficult. But remember, your faith in Christ as your Savior has no bearing on your circumstances of your life. And I think to be victorious in a Christian life, directed by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we need to make sure that we understand that. And then we need to go to the Word and find out, okay, where is that in the Bible? How can I relate to characters and men and women in the Bible that are going through similar circumstances as me? Not that things may change immediately, but you can get encouragement knowing that you are not alone. That the Word of God will give us comfort, it will give us encouragement, it will give us conviction, and it will also give us direction. Turn to your neighbor and say, I could use a little direction. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostles of Christ, and I'll read it to you. It says, so then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any man's court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. Turn to your neighbor and say, is your conscience clear? But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness, and He will expose the motives of men's heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is your motive? This is good stuff, isn't it? I love reading just right from the Bible. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. So just hold on, y'all. You'll get your praise from God. God takes care of His own through the valleys, through the deserts, through the storms. It may not be in this life, but certainly if you're a Christian, in the life to come. In verse 6, now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Oh, I love that. I could just stop right there. Don't go beyond what you read in Scripture. I see so many preachers and teachers, they start coming up with stuff that's not in the Word. And I always want to say, this is one of my terms I like to use when somebody says something to me as in a prophetic way. I'm saying BCV. Always remember BCV. That means book, chapter, verse. If you come up to me and give me something and say something to me as an inspired word of God, I am going to say BCV. Show me in Scripture where it says what you're saying. Do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. Yeah!
Hello.
That way we can all be on the same page. God is no respecter of persons. And these apostles, they were doing some miraculous things. They were raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons, preaching prophetically, because they were prophets, they were real apostles, prophetically, because God was inspiring them before the New Testament was written. So they would use the Old Testament, and then they would explain what it means to people that were, at that time, not sure what it meant. He said, we're not going to take pride. And, you know, they were probably ones that could take pride in all they were doing, but you're going to be able to relate to these apostles, I promise you. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? The Corinthians were getting a little puffed up because of their belief in Christ. So, hey, we're Christians, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Wait a minute, he says, don't just get puffed up and get proud because, you know, now you've got a little more or see a little more than you did, and your neighbor that hadn't gotten saved yet doesn't. You see what I'm saying? You got people around you that ain't where you're at, but you may have been where they are at one time in your life. Y'all feel it. And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Well, it was like any church had their own issues. And he's just, you know, being a pastor, being a pastor that loves them. He says, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings and without us. How I wish you were really had become kings so that we might be kings with you. He was being sarcastic, actually, there, because he's saying, hey, just be happy and content with where you are in life, because he's going to explain to them, this is what we're going through. We're apostles selected by God, specifically by God, and this is what that we're going through. Hello, I just want to put you where you need to be. He said, for it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of this procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. Hey, Christians were being persecuted, not just persecuted, they were being tossed into arenas and being eaten by lions. I'm a Christian? Oh, we're going to use you as lion bait and entertainment for the people that are in arenas. We're going to throw you out to the lions and they're going to eat you up and tear you apart. Hey, sign me up for that. Jesus loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. Oh, that, tell that to these apostles and these Christians that have become Christians. Oh, we're going to be lion bait. Sign me up. So if you think you have it bad sometime, remember what was going on in early church, because you may be having struggles and going through things that are very, very real to you, but always know that other people have been there too and suffered more than you and me. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. Wait a minute, I become a Christian and I'm a spectacle? Ah, y'all have been thrown to the lions, been persecuted, they were losing their jobs, losing their families, they were converting from being Jewish to being a Christian, and so they were being discarded. It was hard for them. And you may be able to relate to it, that it's hard for you sometimes, and it's really hard sometimes being a Christian, but stay the course, and we're going to give you some encouragement. Why have we been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as men? We are fools for Christ. People thought, y'all are foolish. Look at y'all, believing in a man that's died on the cross. That man that died on the cross, you're putting your faith in a man that has died on the cross. That was despicable back in those days, to a man dying on the cross. You're putting your faith in him. Well, he rose from the dead. That's why you can believe that Christ is God. And he defeated sin and death, and he can forgive you of your sins. But he says, we're fools for Christ. So turn to your neighbor and say, are you a fool for Christ? But you are so wise in Christ. We are weak. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can relate to being weak. We are weak. You are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. Say, I can relate on being dishonored. Have you ever been dishonored for whatever reason? Say amen. That's what I thought. But don't be discouraged now. So he says, the apostles talking. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. Sign me up. Sign me up. We go hungry and thirsty. That sounds appealing, doesn't it? They went for days without water or food. Christians. But when you're going through trials and tribulations in your life and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're being dishonored, it doesn't mean that God loves you less. Not at all. Your circumstances are not based on how God loves you. He demonstrated His love for you. He died for you, and through your faith in Him, He puts the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and you can be more than conquerors in Christ, even through trials and tribulations. So turn to your neighbor and say, are you going through a trial or tribulation? Could be in your own mind too, you know. My mind is just, what's wrong with it? My mind thinks things that are not who I am at times. Because I'm human. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a human being? We're going to get there. And we are in rags. Sign me up. They didn't have any clothes to wear. I'm sure they wasn't wearing a suit. We are in rags. Sign me up. We are brutally treated. Sign me up. This is what was going on with them. We are homeless. Uh-oh. Maybe. Maybe not. You can relate to that statement. They had no homes. They were brutally treated. They were in rags. They weren't wearing the clothes they wanted to be wearing. They were hungry and thirsty. They were dishonored. And they were fools for Christ. And they were apostles of God. Let's see how they handle it. It'll help us. We work hard with our own hands. They had calluses. They were working. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to work. When we are cursed, you may be able to relate. What do they do when they're cursed? We bless. Oh, man. There's some freedom right there. You know, you may have some people in your life that are cursing you and want the worst for you. Or cast you out as the black sheep because you made some mistakes in life. I always want to say to people that want to do that with me, join the club, man, you first. Don't try to clear your conscience by taking away my freedom. But it's important to be, if you're like Christ, you want to be like Christ. When somebody curses you, this is the hardest thing to probably do in your life, in my life, is when you're cursed that you need to bless. Yes. Pray for those who persecute you, because you know what? When you do that, you pour hot coals on their head. Yes. That's what Jesus said. It's hard, but you know what? You'll experience freedom like you never have. And some of y'all have been cursed by family, friends, whoever. But it says we bless. And he says we're cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Turn to your neighbor and say, endurance is the key. Jesus said those who endure to the end are the ones who are truly saved. They don't backslide because things get bad. They keep on going forward. And they may stumble, and you may fall, and you may fall short like everybody else, but you'll keep looking to God, and your faith will grow stronger, even though you may have messed up, even though you've tripped up, maybe you've gone astray like a sheep. But we're going to endure it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will endure. When we are slandered, I relate to this. Slander can be some of the hardest. Somebody says something behind your back or says something behind your back that's not true and then spreads it like gangrene. That's the hardest thing. And if people that are not strong in the Lord, they can be influenced. That, oh, really? That's true? relate to this. Just people don't like you, talk behind your back, stab you in the back, say things that are not true, is a very hurtful thing. And so you may be in, you know, experience this. When we are slandered, okay, do I fight back? No, I want to, though. My flesh man says I do. Oh, yeah, let me bow on up. The flesh man wants to bow up and defend myself. But Jesus stood before Pilate like a sheep to a shearer is dumb, and he said not a word to Pilate, and he was innocent. It's freedom, I'm telling you, it's freedom. When you're slandered, don't be jumping back at it. You'll experience freedom, and you'll be like Christ. And you know, people will look at you and go, wow, I see the Lord operating in them. They should be coming back at that person. And you're going like, boop. It's real hard. But by the power of God's Spirit in you as a Christian, you can conquer that. You can't do it on your own. So when we're slandered, we answer kindly. Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth. Sign me up. Become a Christian, become a scum of the earth. I'm just reading it verse by verse. That's why I love the Word of God. It's just not making stuff up. You just read it, try to get it and explain it. We become scum of the earth, the refuge of the world. They were just like the bottom of the bottom, and they were treated like the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. Yeah. I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my what? As dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. He was an example, the Apostle Paul. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Hey, listen, I ain't perfect, he's saying. He said, I'm an apostle, and yet God has given me all these responsibilities and all this power. But I'm a human being, but I'm doing the right thing. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son. He loved him. He was a protege, a youngster, just like the Apostle Paul, like a little mini Apostle Paul, who I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees that I will teach everything in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon. If the Lord is willing, turn to your neighbor and say, if the Lord willing. And then I will find out not only how those arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. God's power in you. That's why you can, through hardships and persecution and being slandered, can overcome. Those who are homeless and without clothes and are thirsty and are hungry, you can't overcome, because it's about power, God's power, not about just talking. Hey, hey, what up, what up, what up? Look what I'm doing. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip? No. Or in love? No. With a gentle spirit. He's just guiding his flock. And you're saying, well, that's not very encouraging. Maybe some of you are listening, they're not Christians yet. And you're saying, well, I wanted to become a Christian. Somebody said, if I come to know Jesus, all my problems will be solved. Well, I just told you it wouldn't be. So don't come to Jesus for the wrong motive. Don't come to Jesus for a better way of life. Come because He has died and suffered on the cross to give you eternal life and total bliss and total paradise. And one day you're going to be like Him. That's the promise. And while you're here on earth suffering through your deserts and your trials and your tribulations, you can have what He promised you, you can have. And it is not stuff. How many of you had stuff before? Say amen. Oh yeah. We've all had. And how many of you have not had stuff? Say amen. Same people. that has stuff. I don't have no stuff. Yeah. You had a lot of zeros in your bank account at one time. One and then zero, 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 zero. Now, like mine, I just got one. No zeros. But he does promise you this. If you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he promises you that he will give you all things you need to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You need more of that? Ask him and he'll give it to you. The Lord will give you all things to have those fruits. I want to be fruitful, Christian. I need more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So, sign me up. Turn to your neighbor and say, okay, sign me up. I wouldn't leave you hanging with that. I just wanted to let y'all know that if y'all are experiencing some of the apostles' problems, don't be discouraged. Because that has no bearing on God's love for you. He has demonstrated His love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Yes, there's the promise. Promises eternal life with Christ. To be like Him for eternity. To have the fruit of the Spirit in my life when I'm going through the desert storms. When the waves are crashing all over me. And I'm saying, Lord, Lord, save me, save me. He said, you already saved. You're already saved, but you got to look at me. You got to depend on me. You got to pray to me. You're already saved. Lord, save me from this storm. You're already saved. I'm in the boat. Just look over your shoulder. I'm in there in the boat. See me? We want to look at our what? Problems. Big P too. Capital P. Problems, problems, problems. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can relate to these apostles. Romans chapter 8, and we'll finish with this. Watch this now. Chapter 8. Turn to your neighbor and say, Romans 8:28. So, we were real about our relationship. Real about relationship to God. Hey, Lord, I'm getting it. You love me no matter where I am. The apostles experienced tremendous tragedy. But here's the encouragement. And this is why I love the Bible so much. And this is why we don't need to be cherry-picking the Bible. You know people like that? They just pick out what's good for them. And here's what happens with that. If you just had a... And it's all sweet. They just pick out the sweet stuff. And they live in just the sweet stuff. They don't read what we read. And as you do that, you keep on doing that, it's like eating cotton candy every day for lunch, dinner, and breakfast. Eat cotton candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for about 3 days and see what happens. It's good. It's real good. But it's going to get you sick. And you can't sustain yourself on it. It's good every now and again. But don't just cherry pick scripture. Read the whole counsel of God. Here's what he says, Paul. The Apostle Paul in 28, verse 28 and verse 8. And we know that in all things God works for good to those who love Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, all means all. Not some. So if you read it like, and we know that some things work for good. No. All your trials, all your tribulations, all your storms, being hungry, being thirsty, being discarded, being forgotten, all those things are going to work out for your good. Hang on. Amen. Remember about perseverance? We talked about it. all things God works for good to those who what? You got to love Him. So you love God. Put your hand up here. Love God first. And then your left hand, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't poke your neighbor too. Love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what's the letter?
A-L.
Oh, how did that happen? It's an L?
Yeah.
Love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm making an L. You can remember that. And if you don't love God, you can't love your neighbor. Don't try to love your neighbor first. Love God first, then you can love your neighbor. Yeah, you never forget L. Just don't poke your neighbor in the eyeball when you do. If you love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If you're a Christian, you've been called according to His purpose. Your purpose in life is different than mine. Mine is different than yours. But if you're in Christ, you are called to the purpose that God has laid out for you. For those God knew beforehand, He also predestined to be conformed in the likeness of the Son. Yes! Encouragement, like Christ. That we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're in Christ, you're justified. The judge God was going to sentence you to guilty. And Christ comes along. And He stands up for you and saves you and forgives you of your sins. And you're pronounced justified in the sight of holy God because of your belief in Christ. And that's even through your troubles. What then shall we say is response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I forget that sometimes. What do you mean? What do you mean? If God is for me, He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He has given me salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He has given me the power by His Spirit to be more than conquerors. He's given me eternal life. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to be like Him forever. And if God is for me, what can man or woman do to me? But don't we forget that sometime? Look, He's saying if God is for you, what matters? God loves you in spite of your flaws, your shortcomings, and falling short. Yes. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. What can man do to me? He can only kill me. He can only throw me to the lions. And I can be torn up limb to limb. Be some good eating for those lions. And I would die. But I would live. So somebody's trying to hurt you and you're a Christian, God is on my side. And I'm going to let God fight my battles for you. I'll pray for your salvation. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously, not reluctantly, but graciously give you all things you need to succeed. Now, the all things is not the big Cadillacs and the big houses and the big bling and the unlimited credit card at the mall. That's not all things. Promise you. He will give you all things. Remember we talked about the fruit of the Spirit? All those things, hopefully you want those. He'll give you all those things if you ask so you can be like Him. And when you go through the trials and tribulations of your life, you'll be at peace.
Amen.
That's what I want most of all. I want peace most of all. I want love most of all. I need self-control most of all. I need patience, Lord. I need patience, Lord. I'm not patient, 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 patient. Hurry up, Lord. Hurry up, Lord, and bless me, Lord. Lord, have you got that blessing taken care of? I've been asking for 3 months. God is not obligated to answer your prayers or my prayers on your timeline. The prayer that He answers right away, right away, right away, right away, right away is the prayer of repentance and faith. No matter what you've done, where you've been, we're all murderers. We've all hated someone in our mind, haven't we? Jesus said, if you hated someone in your mind, you're a murderer. If you look at somebody with lust, it's like going to bed with them. You're an adulterer. That's why you need Jesus. Some of y'all haven't looked at anybody with lust, but you're breaking the ninth commandment by lying, so all liars are going to... Go when they die. But I have been set free from the law of sin and death in Christ. So He will give you all things. What are you asking for? Well, here we're going to close out with this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Nobody. It is God who justifies. Who justifies? God. God judges you, me, through this Word. He's not judging those who are in Christ, but He's the one, the only one, that can justify you with all the hundreds of sins you've committed in your life. Just like lying, do not lie is the ninth commandment. How many of you have told 100 lies? I got 100 lies right there, 100 lies right there. How many of you told 500 lies in your life, 500 lies in your life, in your life, like 500 lies in your life right there, like 500, 500 right here, 600, 600, 600 lies over there, 600 lies over there, over there, over there. Do I got 800 lies over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. Do I got 1,000 lies in there? Oh, 1,000 lies. She's the biggest lie in the room. Give her a kiss for the girl. I love honest people about lying. Boy, I've told some lies in my life. I don't know, I ain't calling myself no liar, you know what I mean? It's hard, but God has set me free from that penalty. Praise God. You know, Jesus never broke the law in word, thought, and deed. That's why He could pay your penalty for and your sacrifice for you. He was absolutely perfect. And that's what was required. It's God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. And you know what He's doing for you? He's interceding for you. When you commit a sin, He intercedes for you to God. He said, He's been saved. She's been saved by grace. She is forgiven. Yes. And you know who wants to accuse you when you sin? The devil. He wants his spot too in court. He wants his spot in court too. He's going to be pointing his finger. Oh, you see? You see her? She ain't doing right. She sinned 3 times this week. What you going to do, God? And Jesus is saying, no, she's been justified. She ain't doing right, but you know what? She's doing pretty good, and she's going to do better because she's trusting in me and my power, but she's been saved from that condemnation. You can't condemn me when I've been justified by God. And don't let your neighbor or your family try to condemn you if you've already been set free from the law of condemnation. No, Now, that's not license to go live and storm this week, either. Grace does not give us a license to go live it up and sin up a storm. Jesus was raised to life and is at the right hand of God. Yes! My intercessor is Christ! Who will separate us from the love of Christ? No one. You got problems like the apostles? You hungry and thirsty? You've been condemned? You're homeless? You're discarded as useless by your family or friends? Don't be discouraged. That's not going to separate you from the love of Christ. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate us from the love of God? Remember that, though, when you're in that ship and the storm is raging and the waves are crashing and the lightning is blaring and the thunder is crashing. Remember that. Because you're going to need to hang on to it. Save me, Lord. Save me. He's in the back of the boat. Resting. Through the storms that you're having in your life. And you know why? He wants you to rest. Turn to your neighbor and say, I could use a little rest. As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Sign me up for that. God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. Sheep is slaughtered. See the realism with being a Christian? It's not about your circumstances. It's about knowing what's going on scripturally so you can be encouraged. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Conquerors, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a conqueror. And see, the world is going to look at you, maybe because you're in a different place than some people out there, and they're going to look at you and say, you know what? How can you be a conqueror? Look at you. Look what's happening in your life right now. How can you be a conqueror? They don't know. You are a conqueror in Christ who loved you. For I am convinced, I am convinced more and more as I suffer trials and tribulations and hardships and tragedies, I am, as it says in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, pick one, it doesn't matter to me. See, when you're in Christ, it doesn't matter what happens to you. Life? Yes. Death? Yes. I'm in Christ. He is my peace. He is my strength. He is my comfort in times of distress. Not man that let me down. All my friends that split when I ran out of money. Be like, where's the limo at? Well, I ain't got none anymore. Well, okay, see you later. When the limo runs out, and all the stuff run out, Christ is still there. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers in the world, not even Satan himself that accuses me all the time for doing wrong. That's my own conscience that God gave me. Get behind me, Satan. And he can't take away your salvation, but he can try to make you miserable. And he will use other people. To give you a little word from the devil. speak.
Yeah, this is the devil calling.
And they don't even tell you it's the devil. It's just
Bob and Betty Sue or whoever.
They didn't act like the devil. Or they're the devil's messenger.
But in Christ you are a conqueror. And when temptation comes your way, to Christ and His power in you, you can be a conqueror. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we fall into it. But don't deny it. Don't cover it up. And don't pretend. Be weak and humble, knowing that your strength is in the Lord, not in your own self, because you probably tried to resist temptation in your own power, right? All right. Yeah, calls your name all the time. But in Christ you're a conqueror.
But who can separate us from God's love?
No, but nothing.
No powers, neither height. Being on that mountaintop, hallelujah.
It's easy to be,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
When you're up on the mountaintop and everything in your life is going great, it's easy to be spiritual, isn't it? Praise God. But you know where the sacrifice of praise comes? When you're on in the valley. Can you still praise Him? That's the sacrifice of praise. It'd be hard, but you know that valley? That low spot in your life that you may be going through? That's where the shepherd took the sheep to feed on the grass. Because there was no grass in the higher elevations.
I want to be on a mountaintop! I don't want no problems!
There ain't no grass up there. Ain't no grass to feed the sheep. You got to go to the valley to get the green grass. They're too high up there to grow grass. It's too cold up there to go grow grass. You can see far along. The view is sure pretty. But the shepherd, he took his sheep down. And the roads to get there, they were rocky and rough too. But you're going to get there. Because you follow the shepherd. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's a question. Do you really, really know Him as Lord? I hear a lot, like on Facebook, and people talk about God a lot, loving God, being like, so I'm going like, what? Hold on. All religions are using G-O-D. And loving God is fine. I tell people, I love God. Do you love God through Christ, His only begotten Son? That's the real God. That's the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the real God. The God of the Bible is the Father and God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not one you've made up in your mind. But nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am victorious no matter what.
I am victorious no matter what.
And that's encouraging to us because, don't you love my notes? I love just reading the Bible. That verse encouraged me when I was going through some difficult times. And you know what? They're still happening. But then the Romans 8 says, the circumstances are not... And God's love is not based on what's happening to you, on people slandering you, you being hungry and thirsty and discarded and depressed and down and out. So when you need encouragement, go to His Word. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, tomorrow is the day. Because your heart may stop. Has your heart ever stopped? Look, just 1 second. Oh, It's going to stop beating one day. What's going to happen? Are you going to see God? And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. I got something really... Or is he going to say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness? So today is the day of salvation. We have ministers up here that can pray for you. They can tell you how to be saved. If you need to be saved by grace through faith, we have ministers here just wanting to talk to you, pray with you. Whatever you need, you come tell us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. The children are a blessing to us. They're learning about God. We're learning about God through the Bible, through Christ. Empower us through our trials and tribulations that you love us no matter what. And then nothing in our life we can never be separated from you based on what's going on around us. Help us to have victory in those thoughts and meditations. If there's anybody listening to my voice, wherever they are, that has never been saved by grace, let today be the day they come and say, I want to know the Lord as my Savior. And those who already know you, we're the sheep of your pasture. We've already been saved. We don't need to be saved again, but we need encouragement. We need strength, and we need to be empowered by your Spirit to be that conqueror you've called us to be. Empower us now through the storms and trials of our life. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we give you all the honor and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask. Amen.
Amen.